As you turn to Luke chapter 11, I just want to, if you didn't get a chance to see Rob, but it's nice to see Rob with us this morning. Thank you, Rob. You're here. Bless your heart. You're in our prayers. We're going to continue to pray that God will just heal up everything, right?
Yeah, I know. You know.
Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. We're going to stand in honor reading the word of the Lord this morning. Once again, I know time has gone on, but we want to honor God and we want to honor his word. Luke chapter 11, starting with verse number 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you had a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answered, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, or I'm sorry, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will what? Be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks, receiveth, and he that seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will you give him a snake instead? If he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him?" Father, once again, we ask you to open our eyes of understanding. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying this day among us. And Father, we're going to be grateful and thankful for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we go on, and I want to speak to you today about the communing heart. A communication would be another word to use, but I'm using the word communing because it's an active voice of a verb, means something that you have to do. It's not something that you think, not something that you ponder, it's something that you have to do. You gotta commune with God. You gotta have a relationship, you gotta talk with him. There's gotta be communication, you gotta commune with him. And I stress that so important. In the lives of boys and girls, we see that played out so well. I came upon a little snippet that I want to share with you about children and how they pray. One child, Debbie, 7 years old, said this, "Dear God, please send a new baby to mommy. The new one you sent last week cries too much." What innocence. Jimmy, 6 years old, said this, "Who did you make smarter, boys or girls? My sister and I want to know." Yeah, I'm sure you do, Jimmy. Norma 8 says this, "How many angels are there in heaven? I would like to be the first kid in my Sunday school class to answer that question next week." Angelica says this, "This is my prayer. Could you please give my brother some brains? So far, he doesn't have any." Again, the innocence of children and what they pray. Here's another one. "Hank, thank you for the nice day today. You even fooled the TV weatherman." Angie said this, "Please bring me a new brother. The one I got socks me all the time." Let's see, Lois, not Lois here, of course. Lois says, 9 years old, said this, "Please help me in school. I need help spelling, adding, history, geometry, and writing. I don't need help in anything else but those." Sounds like everything to me. Natalie, said this in her prayer, "Do you have any helpers in heaven? I would like to be one of your helpers in heaven when I have a summer vacation." What innocence and what truth in what she's trying to say here. And I thought about that, and I thought about them communing with God. They're communing from a heart. They're not thinking about what they're saying. They're just saying what's in their heart. And that's the best prayer you can pray as a believer in Christ today. Pray from your heart. Commune with God from your heart. It's not a head knowledge. It's a heart knowledge. And when you commune with God, as you've seen in the truth of these little children, that truth will begin to then resonate within you. Hopefully today I can share with you God's desires about having a communing heart with Him. You know, I don't know if I put this up there, and I may not have put it up there, but what are some of the disciplines of prayer that we need to have in our life? Prayer is the greatest privilege we have as Christians. That's the greatest privilege we have as Christians. An attitude, it's an attitude more than it's an act. It's a conversation of the soul with God. It's the channel of power and the cup of blessing. It takes hold of God's strength and the willingness to do what God wants us to do. My spirit pants after Him in my prayer. I connect. He connects with my need when I pray. The road of tranquility and the peace of mind comes when I pray. What releases is the sources of the Almighty other than prayer? The most effective weapon that we have as believers in Christ today is what? Prayer. The virtue of prevailing over sin and Satan only comes through prayer. You know, that's what we did yesterday. We prayed before we went out. We prayed when we went to those establishments. We prayed as we sat outside of the establishment that God would touch hearts and God would touch lives. Prayer is the most affordable weapon that God has given to the church, has given to you as a believer in Christ, as you witness for Him. What intentions exist today in our society that if we don't take advantage of those intentions, that we lose them? We lose that opportunity. Richard Frost, in his book of Discipline of Disciples, says this: of all the spiritual discipline, prayer is the most central one because it ushers us into a perpetual communion with God the Father. Meditation introduces us to an inner life. Fasting accomplishes means that we cannot do on our own through prayer. This discipline of prayer that brings us into the deepest and the highest work of all human spirit that have ever existed. Missionary William Carver said these words: prayer is secret, fervent, believing. It lies at the root of all personal goodness. William Carver, greatest missionary ever that was, said those words. Prayer is so well needed in your life as well as in the church life. And it's needed in this world in the day that we live in. How does prayer work? Simply, the closer we come to the heartbeat of God, the more our needs and the more we desire to be conformed into the image of Christ. That's how prayer affects us. In prayer, real prayer, we begin to think God's thoughts after Him. We desire the things that He has desires for us. We love Him and we love the things He loves. And we will do the things that He will. That's what prayer is. That's how it affects us. That's what it does in our lives. And if it's something that we do not have, then we're missing something. You're missing something in your Christian experience here today. If you are not praying, if you're not seeking God, if you're not finding time to be with God, you're missing out on the greatest privilege you have as a believer in Christ. And you're missing out on the greatest power and the ability that He gives to you. When you are weak, then He comes strong through this. Why did the disciples ask Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray"? Because they realize that all spiritual success and progress depends on the union that they have with the Savior. Without that union, they could never and never will be able to do anything. For without Christ, you can't do nothing, but with Him, you can do all things because He makes it possible. That's the beautiful part. And we miss that so much in our lives. And prayer is recorded in Scripture over and over again. And prayer teaches us that we are working with God to determine our future. What is your future today? We have some graduates that are graduating this year from high school. I don't see them right here right now. But if I was to ask them, what are your future? They may have some plans. They may have some desires. They may have some things that they want to do. But yet, they're not going to know their future unless they pray for God to reveal that future to them. And that's what prayer does. Prayer reveals the future. Just not in a young graduate's life, but also in your life. In your life as a young person, in your life as a middle-aged person, in your life as an elderly person as well. Prayer reveals your future. And we know where we are going to be one day. We're going to be with Jesus. That's our future. That's our hope. That's where we look toward. And we look toward the future that God has for you. Or has for me and also has for you. In Luke chapter 2, Jesus prayed these words, not my will, but what? Thy will be done. There's a something about praying your future. Praying, God, not my will, but thy will be done. How do we get ourselves in a place of prayer? We need to quiet ourselves. When we quiet ourselves, we need to listen. When we listen, then we also then need to be attuned to what he is telling us. That's the beautiful thing that God gives to us. That's the beautiful thing that God gives to us. Now, I'm going to give you four weapons of our warfare, because we all are in a battle in one way or another, aren't we? And these four weapons of our warfare are powerful weapons that God has given to the church. And if it may not be on your slip, because I added a little bit more to my sermon today as I was preparing. But the name of Jesus, that's a powerful weapon, isn't it? The name of Jesus is a powerful weapon. You just don't use that name in a nonchalant way. Like, oh man, I got caught at this red light. Jesus. No. The word Jesus is a powerful weapon. It gives us the reassurance that we need. That when we call upon the name of Jesus, we have reassurance that God hears us. Going down the road and you lose control of your car on an icy, slitted road. And you cry out, Jesus! And you see the guardrails in front of you. And God stops you before you hit it. Are you with me? That's what I'm talking about. The reassurance that that name, Jesus, the authority of that name, not to be used in a slighted way, but to use it in a reassurance way. When someone tells you they have cancer, someone says that they're going for an operation, or someone says that they're facing some trouble, some financial difficulties, you can call upon the name of Jesus and have reassurance that God cares, that God cares, that God is there. Another force of weapon that God has given to us in our spiritual warfare is the Word of God. How many use the Word of God in prayer as you pray? You use the Word of God. The Word of God is the authority of God Himself. God, I claim the Scripture. I call upon the name of Jesus. I have the assurance that that may mean something because I have a relationship with you. Now, oh God, I bring to account your word today. Your word says, if I will make your word a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, you're going to guide me. If I hide your word in my heart, I'm not going to sin against you. There's something about that authority of God's word. God's words that speaks things, sometimes even into existence. God's words that brings about things that we can't bring about ourselves. I remember my daughter, Abby, for 5 years she prayed that she would have a child. And she prayed for 5 years, and we prayed with her. And I remember one time I prayed with Abby, and then I said to her, you know, Abby, I want to pray God's word over you. Be fruitful and multiply. You may say, that's a simple word, but that's God's word. And you know what? It took God a little time to bring forth that promise. She adopted a child. And once she adopted a child, 5 months later, she found out she was pregnant. 5 months later, she found out she was pregnant. You know, that's the authority of God's word. And I can speak of other things and other things that have taken place. And you too can. Because it's not a privilege just for me as a pastor. It's a privilege for you as a believer to speak God's word over something. Hide God's word in your heart. Allow God's word to be there, to live a life. Let's go on to the next one, another powerful weapon God has given for our warfare. Do you know the blood of the cross? The blood of Jesus Christ? What he did on the cross is a weapon of warfare? Plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon your family. Now, we sing that song, speak the name of Jesus over your family. But I say to you, plead the blood of Jesus Christ over your family. Ask for that divine protection to be upon you. That's what it is. The blood of the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ. It gives us access to something that we may not have access to. The death angel was held away from the homes where the blood was applied to the door. So we see that the blood of Jesus Christ means something. And then the last weapon of warfare that God has given to us is the power of the Holy Spirit, which gives us the anointing. This is probably a sermon that I can preach even on my own, but as I was preparing, I constantly go over my sermon. I keep on adding stuff to it as God just gives it to me. But the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God when you pray, that comes upon you. Now, there are some hindrances that you can have in prayer. There's no question about it. Some hindrances that you can have in your prayer. If there's sin in your life, if there's pride, if there's selfishness, if there's unforgiveness, if there's any disobedience, unbelief, you're out of God's will. Those are the hindrances of God meeting needs in your life and using you in that way. But no matter what, get rid of those hindrances so he can just flow through you. He can work through you, and he can do in you what he wants to do. Okay, are you getting there? Are we good on those? Those are some of the things that I just mentioned here. Let me get on to my sermon now. Like I said, I put a lot in my introduction here. That's where I add everything, in my introduction. And then I give you my points. So these are my 3 points to you this morning, if you're taking notes. 3 basic types of prayer. Worship, praise, and thanksgiving. 3 types of prayer. Worship, praise, and thanksgiving. So when we look at prayer, based on scripture here, it says, he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. In those words are these 3 acts of prayer. Worship, praise, and thanksgiving. There's just something about when you call upon the name of the Lord, how he works in your life. This results from a conscious awareness of God's presence in your life. I don't know if you ever felt the presence of somebody. You know, there were times when I was in Bible school and I would be walking through the campus and we had tall buildings. And as I would be walking through the campus, I would just feel the presence of somebody watching me. I mean, there was no one around. And once in a while, I would look up and I wouldn't see anybody. But I would see curtains go back, you know, fall back. My wife told me later on, a lot of ladies were looking at me. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. But I'm sure you looked out in the windows before, too, right? You know, there's just something about the awareness of a presence. You know there's someone there. You just know that there's something there. It could be good, it could be bad, but we want the presence of God in our lives. We want to sense the presence of God in our lives, don't we? We want to be aware that God is there. There's just something about it. Yesterday, a lady standing behind the desk at the hotel, we were sharing with her about these children, and she goes, oh my God, is all these children from New York and New Jersey? I said, yeah. And she started crying in her eyes. The Spirit of God was just present on her. I even cried with her. Our team cried with her, you know, because we felt the presence of God impressing on her the importance of what this does. And she goes, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I said, no, I'm with you. I'm crying with you. There's something about the awareness of God that comes upon you, and you want it in your life. God's greatness and how you respond to him will always be the determination on how he works in your life. And when you worship God from the depths of your heart, from the soul, you praise him and you give him thanks and adoration, things begin to happen in your life that couldn't happen any other way. I mean, I think about the many scriptures that are found in the scripture. In Psalm 96, verse 9, it says, Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Psalm 104, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I know you know these scripture verses. Here's another one, Psalm 107. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Psalm 48, verse 1, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. A song that we sing. John 4:23. Yet a time is coming and now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. There's something about worshiping God. There's something about giving God thanksgiving. There's something about praising him and worshiping him. Worshiping him. Prayer, here's the definition. Prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God and the cooperation with that will. That's what prayer does. It's a surrender. Surrender to the will of God, and then you fall into cooperation with what he wants. If I was in a boat and I was to throw an anchor to the shore and I was to pull on that rope, am I bringing the shore to me, or am I being pulled to the shore? I'm being pulled to the shore. The anchor doesn't bring me to the shore, but the shore pulls me. All right, the anchor, as I pulled on the anchor, it pulls me to the shore. And I think that's what prayer does. When we pray, we're not pulling God to us. Our prayer pulls us to God. Prayer brings us closer to God. That's what he does. Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but it's the alignment of my will to the will of God. That's what prayer is. It's not pulling God's will to me, but it's me aligning myself to the will of God. And that's what we want. We want to align ourselves to the will of God. Let me talk to you about another type of prayer. It's called petition and confession. When our kids were small, we were teaching them about prayer. Three things we taught our kids. We taught our kids about the P's and the Q's. You know what the P's and the Q's are, right? The please and the thank yous. So that's what we taught our kids. We taught them, always when you pray, say, please God. And always say, thank you, God. And then the last one, if you ever have to say you're sorry, say you're sorry. Your P's and your Q's. You know? How many of we don't do that? We don't say, please, God. We don't say, thank you, God. Maybe we say sorry more than we say please and thank you. Petition and confession plays a very important role in your prayers. This is when I bring my personal needs to the Lord, who waits for me to ask. You may come boldly in faith, praying with wisdom, guidance, and strength. You may have to pray a prayer of forgiveness, a prayer of healing, a prayer for finances, a job, a boldness to witness, pure motives for service, pure attitudes toward other people. This is not being selfish, praying these types of prayers. These are prayers of petition and prayers of confession. That's what they are. If we fail to ask, we fail to receive. Jesus even said in John chapter 16, verse 24, you do not have because you do not what? Ask. Ask. We're afraid to ask sometime. Maybe because we're not in the right place. Maybe we're not doing the right thing. Maybe we're doing something wrong. But if we know we're right, we're in God's will, we're doing what God wants us to do, ask. That's what he says to do. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. Philippians 4:6, let your requests be made known unto God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and you it shall be given to you. James 4:2, ask and you shall receive. There's this truth about the scripture. You have to ask. And if you're not willing to ask, you're not going to receive. Because that's the way God is. God wants us to ask. He knows before we even ask him. He knows all things before we even ask him. But yet, there's something about his love and grace that says, give it a shot. Ask. Nothing wrong with asking. I found this little quirk, and I'll share it with you. It says this: truth, remember, if your request is wrong, God will say no. If the timing is wrong, God will say slow. If you are wrong, God is going to say grow. But if your request is right and your timing is right and you are right, God will say go. So there's something about us going to God in prayer and letting God give us the answer. God knows what's better for us than we do. Let's face it. He knows that there are some things in our lives that we don't need. God has a way of closing doors, and God has a way of opening doors. But however God does, and whatever God does, if our life is in His hand, His providence will be carried out in our lives as we follow His will. And sometimes it may be hurtful, and sometimes it may be painful, and the trials may be trying. But remember, He doesn't bring trials your way to cause you to suffer. He brings you trials your way to help you grow. How many read that today in the Daily Bread? Because that's where I just took that from, the Daily Bread. You know, I'm going to throw something away. It's like a father who gave her daughter a Bible to go off to college. And the father says, honey, read that Bible every day. It'll meet every answer you have. Whatever your answer is, it's there. It's in His Word. So a month later, the daughter texts his father. And then the text says, Dad, will you send me some money? I need some money. You probably heard of this. Father says, ask the daughter a question. Are you reading the Bible? And the father even gave her a text. And said, are you reading the Bible? He goes, yeah, Dad, I read that. I'll read that. And then a day later, she said, Dad, I really need some money. And the father says, are you reading your Bible? Are you sure you're reading your Bible? Yeah, I'm reading your Bible, Dad. Well, here's another scripture verse I want you to read. And he texted that to her, and she gets it. And then at the end of the week, she calls her dad, not texts her, but calls her and says, Dad, I really need some money. And the father said, let me just ask you one question. Are you reading your Bible? And she goes, yeah, I am. And the father says, if you were reading the Bible, each of the verses I gave you, I put money on those verses, in your Bible at those verses. See, that proved to the father that she wasn't reading the Bible. She wasn't reading the Bible. You know, and I think sometimes that's how we treat God, right? We go to God, we just beseech God, we say, God, do this for me, do that for me. And God says, are you spending time with me? Are you spending time in my word? God, I'm having a hard time here. Something's going on in my life. I don't know why everything's going wrong now. Everything was going right, but because you got away from His word and you got away from Him, He sends those trials, not so you will suffer, so you will grow. Let's get to the last one, intercession and supplication. Verses 5 through 13, I don't have time to read it all. But you find out here, Jesus paraphrased a bunch of questions. If your son asks for bread, will you give him a snake? If he asks for an egg, will you give him a serpent? You, who know evil, how to give good gifts to your kids. Don't you think the Father knows what's good for you? Not what you think, but what He thinks. See, when we look at intercession and supplication, worship and petition are easy things to do. But those that are intercessors here today, you know it's hard work. If you ever got into intercessory prayer, you know it's hard work. When you get before God and you start praying and God starts touching your hearts and you start crying and weeping for things that you don't even know. Sometimes you know, but other times you just don't know. You're interceding, you're wailing, you're crying, interceding for a need, whatever that need may be. Those other petitions and worship, they're easy things to do, but intercession is hard. Intercessory prayer is when I reach beyond myself and I pray, not for my own needs, but for the needs of those around me. Praying for the needs of those around me, being burdened. Why is it difficult for us as Christians to participate in intercessory prayer? I believe that one greatest reason we have a hard time and a difficult time in intercessory prayer is because in intercessory prayer we are engaging spiritual battles, spiritual warfares that are taking place in the unseen world. the unseen world. You know, I have a group of prayer warriors that when we go into the jail from 11:30 to 2:30, 3 o'clock, I have a prayer warriors that are praying with me that the whatever spirit that is there upon that jail will be broken, will be bound, will not have any effect on the hearts and lives of those men and women. And when they hear the gospel, they will accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you want to join that band of people interceding every Friday from 11:30 to 3 o'clock, please do. Pray with us. Because the battle we fight against is not flesh and blood. The battles we're fighting against are spiritual battles in the heavenly places. Those are the battles we're fighting. Think about the battles that you have fought sometimes in your life. You're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're not fighting against that boss that you think that doesn't like you. You're fighting against that spiritual darkness that's hovering over that place where you work. Intercessory prayer confronts the enemy in his stronghold. It demolishes his grip that he has on the lives of individuals. It's so beautiful when God intercedes in a way in someone's heart and their lives, they are so resistant to the gospel. And when you pray and you're interceding, God changes their heart and they're so receptive. They're so receptive. And you sense that. You sense that when that takes place. Maybe some of you are saying, Pastor, this is all foreign to me. Well, hopefully it won't be foreign to you anymore. Because the intercession, you're engaging against the forces of the devil itself. You're engaging against hell itself. You're engaging against a grip that Satan has on someone's life. The Apostle Paul uses these words, the weapon of our warfare are not carnal. Because we are not in a physical battle. We are in a spiritual battle. So our weapons to win the victory are spiritual. They're not carnal. It's not my quickness in what I say and how I say it. And it's not the jokes that I tell or the stories I tell. It's the Spirit of God that drills and hones in on the heart of the individual that's hardened by Satan and all the garbage and junk that is poured into their lives. And God, through spiritual prayer and through intercession, is able to break down those barriers. Break them down. Break them down. That's what intercessory prayer is. It's when God enlists you to be used in His divine power in pulling down strongholds. It is intercessory prayer that I literally pray people out of Satan's power and see them born into the kingdom of God. I can speak to you all morning of the attacks of the enemy and then how you deal with it, but know this, if your prayer life is not right, you don't want to take that on. And I say that in a humble way. Don't be like the seven sons of Sceva in Acts chapter 19, who went to this man that was possessed with the devil and says to this man that was possessed with a devil and a demon and said to him, Jesus, in whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out of that man. And that demon-possessed man says, Jesus I know. Demons know Jesus. Paul I know. Because he preaches Christ. But you I do not know. And the demon-possessed man jumped off of his stoop where he was. And he beat up these seven men. He just didn't beat them up. He says, I'm going to embarrass you. I'm going to send you away with nothing to show you that you came into this world with nothing and you're going to leave my presence with nothing. And what that demon-possessed man did, read it. He ripped all their clothes off of them and sent them away nude. You know, church and life, we come in this world with nothing. We're going to leave with nothing. But if we don't have a relationship with God, we're going to leave this world without Him. My goal and my hope is that everyone in this room has a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Savior. Even those that are listening online, they have a relationship with Jesus. There's spiritual forces out there. I don't know how much more to say that. Prayer is where battle is won or lost. Amen? Prayer is where the battle is won or lost. If you're not willing to pray, you're going to lose the battle. If you think your achievements and your accomplishments are going to do it, it's not. Prayer is going to do that. Do you know what Satan's highest priority is today in the world? Not to control government. Satan's highest priority today is not to control people. Satan's highest priority today is to keep you and me and this church from praying. That's his highest priority. That's his highest priority. I am grateful and thankful for this church, that everything that we do, from the start of the service to the end, we covered it in prayer. Then going out yesterday on the can and doing that, we started with prayer and we ended in prayer. That everything we do, we start with prayer and we end with prayer. Saying the highest priority he has is to keep you and me in this church from praying. We're not going to do that, are we? We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Someone say, well, that's foolish. Someone tells me, oh, Pastor, I got a headache. Let me pray with you. No, you don't have to pray. Yeah, I do. Pastor, I'm going for surgery this week. Oh, let me pray with you. Oh, you don't have to do that. No, I do. Church, there's nothing wrong with you saying that to someone. If someone says they're having a hard time, hey, let me pray with you. Admonish them. Encourage them. That's the great power that we have. That's his priority. He knows that he will be defeated if the believers take their authority in the name of Jesus against the spiritual forces that are here. I mean, even yesterday we prayed against the pride parade here in Oneonta. Prayed against them. Sorry if I offend you. But that's a spirit. That's a spirit that looms over our city. Sexual human trafficking, that's a spirit that looms over that. Think about it. This is not something that man has devised. This is Satan's working. This is why he does everything to get believers to do nothing. This is why he does what he does, because if he can get us to do nothing, he's got us where we need to be. He will do his utmost to keep us rushing around, being active, being busy, keeping us from the place of prayer. Satan is crafty. Satan is sly. He's not stupid. But we know God neither is do. God knows what he does. So we need to recognize his tactics. We need to do battle God's way. We need to win the battle in a spiritual way. And the only way that battle is going to be won is in intercessory prayer. Never forget, my greatest outlet of spiritual power is prayer. I can do more for God through prayer than any other means. I remember some of the old time people in the church, they were older and they felt bad that they couldn't do certain things. They couldn't be involved in certain things. But one thing they always told my wife and I, hey, we're praying for you. They say that may not be much. I said, that's everything. That is everything. The missionaries that we support around the world, you may not be able to give, but pray for them. That's everything for them. Church, I don't know how to stress that. The results can be accomplished, and what results can be accomplished when God does things. That's what I love about what God can do. And the last thing I want to just give to you in the time, and I know time has gone on, but what makes your prayers effective? What makes your prayers effective? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's what we need to do. We need to be praying always. We can't get lax. Because we get lax, we lose our edge. We lose what God's trying to do. Pray always. Be ready to pray at all times. Be in a mindset of prayer. Pray all prayers, whatever the prayer may be. Prayer of communion, prayer of forgiveness, prayer of repentance, prayer of reaching up to God. Allow your supplication to be special times, praying for the needs and the urgency of needs. Pray in the Spirit, on the urgency of the Spirit. Pray under the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is leading you to pray, pray. What more can we do? It's the Spirit who enables us to pray from our natural ability and strength. And it's the Spirit who gives us the words to say when we don't have the words to say. That's the beautiful part of what prayer is. As Christian comes up, and I don't know who else is going to come up with you, Christian, but Jesus is asking us to trust him in everything that takes place in our lives. That's what Jesus is asking, for us to trust him in everything that's taking place in our lives. If our life is not under God's control today, you need to take care of it today. If you're an unbeliever here today, you need to give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ and what he did for you. He died on the cross. Through his death on the cross, he made it possible for you to come into a relationship with him. If your life is not under his care, I pray today that you will do it. Christians, I'm going to admonish you too. You may be a believer in Christ, and your life may not be under his control. You think what you're facing, you're going to be able to do it on your own strength? You're not going to. It's going to get harder and harder and harder. Because through that, God is going to help you to grow and come closer to him. So there really are two choices that we need to make today. Number one, our life has to be under God's control. And number two, if you're a Christian, you want him to be in control of your life. Let's pray. Father, as we take this opportune time to just bow our hearts, not to contemplate our decision, but for us to make a forward mindset decision and commune with you. If there's anybody here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I want to lead you in a prayer that allow your life to get right with God. It's about your future, my friend. It's not about you possessing the gains of this world. Because the scripture even tells us, what shall the profit a person if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? Your future lays in balance today. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That's my question to you today. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, I need a sign from you. And that sign, I would like it to be an upraised hand. And you looking at me and saying, Pastor John, I need Jesus. It's simple, my friend. Don't allow the enemy to allow you not to accept Christ as your Lord. Is there anyone here today? If that's you, raise your hand and look at me and I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. I'll believe for you. Maybe Christians, you're here today and you say, Pastor, I gave my heart to Christ many years ago. Or maybe even a week ago. Time means nothing to God. A day is like 1,000 years to him. But for you, a day could be 1,000 years. And you're here today and you say, Pastor John, I allowed Christ at one time to be in control of my life. But I've walked away from that. I walked away from that urgency and that desire to live for him. And now I sense a spark, a new spark coming in me where I need to live for Christ. I want to live for him. I want to have a ready heart. I want my heart to be focused upon him. I want to be empowered by him. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand with every head bowed, every eye closed, and I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Allow God to do something in your life. I'm going to ask that the board, if they would come up and stand up front here with me. And if you need prayer, if you need to be anointed with oil, come on up. Let us pray for you. If you are